We bless God. Listen, Children's Church is open. Is Children's Church open today? Is it open? Children's Church is open. Amen. My beautiful wife is somewhere. Children's Church is open. All right, all right, all right. Look at these babies. They ready too. They about that life. Amen. Let's give God a yeah. Yeah. All right. That's right. They trying to get to Jesus. Y'all don't be slowing them down. They trying to get to Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Children's Church is open. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Bless God for all our babies. Amen. Excited to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. We bless God for all of our visitors that are here today. It's good to see you. Let's give God a hand clap for them. Amen. I'm excited, man. We got, I was over at Sister Jackson's house yesterday, slaving in the hot sun, pulling all these weeds up, and I said, I really wish I had some help. I'm just playing. The commitment house is in the house. Let's give God a hand for the commitment house. Amen. They came nine deep. Listen, I tried to tell that story to Kevin yesterday. I said, yeah, just left Sister Jackson's house, man, pulling up all these weeds. And Kevin was like, you know you ain't pulled up no weeds, amen? We bless God for all of our visitors that are here today. Family's home, amen. Good to see family home, amen. And we are excited to be in the house of the Lord, amen. Kevin and Kenneth and Bees. Y'all know that when service is over, to guard the door, there will be no slipping through the cracks today. As he holds his head down and say, just keep your head down, CJ, till he's done. Kenneth, you got the door. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something. I'm always nervous around people who's supposed to be saved but can't laugh. Amen. Amen. That makes me nervous, amen. I don't know what type of hell you was in, but the type of hell I was in, every chance that I get to smile, you understand what I'm saying to you? Hallelujah. I heard somebody say one time, oh, that wayward sin that I was in, that depressing sin, what sin was you in? I wasn't in no sin that was depressing. And if you was in some depressing sin, you blew it. Too late now, you saved, amen. Listen, I promise I'm saved. We're going to talk to you today from the third segment of our renewed series entitled, Are You New? Are You New? Young man, can you give me those glasses right there? Amen. Train them up in the way they should go. Thank you, young man of God. Yeah. I watched him. He walked across the whole sanctuary to get to his daddy. Amen. But I prophetically declare that that is a seat that he will have in 20 years. Amen. Hallelujah. I decree and declare right now that he'll never join a gang. He'll never get high. He'll never go to jail. He'll never go to prison. He's going to graduate high school. He's going to graduate college. I decree and declare it. He ain't going to be nobody's baby daddy. He's going to be a husband and a contributor to society. Amen. I decree and declare it right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been dealing with the sermon series entitled, Are You New? And God has moved in this series in a mighty way. And my prayer is, not only does he continue to move in a mighty way, but in a way that is so effective that we see change in every person that is connected to this ministry. And before I go on any further, I just want to shout out my little brothers in the house today. Brother David's in the house. Amen. When y'all see, yeah. Let me tell you something. When y'all see this website in the next couple of weeks, I want you to know this young man had everything to do with that, and it is off the hook. Amen? All right. So I'm praying to see God move, not just mightily, but in a way that it begins to deal with every person in this ministry. Last week, I made a statement that I really want everyone to tap into, and that statement was, never in Scripture, and I mean never, did you ever see someone have an experience with Jesus and not be new and not see change, not see drastic change. In fact, do you remember the story of Jesus getting off the boat and he was immediately confronted by a demon-possessed man who lived among the tombs and he cut himself. The Bible says that he cut himself with stones and he could not be kept in captivity. Some of you might be trying to figure out why is it that he cut himself with stones. Well, back then in that culture, they would cut them. People who had pagan gods will cut themselves with stones to get their God to respond, trying their best to get their God to respond. And some of you might be sitting here thinking, oh, that's crazy. What? I would never do nothing crazy like that to try to get my God to respond. But I would like to suggest that many of us have gods that's not God of Abraham, Jacob, and the truth be told, we have many of us sitting here today have cut ourselves with stones doing our best to make these gods that we had respond. Pastor, not me. I ain't never done nothing like that. You ever lose somebody in relationship and then decide try to figure out why you lost somebody, and you begin to cut yourself with stones? What do you mean, Pastor? You know what? I'm gonna go to the gym. I'm gonna get me a gym membership, and I'm gonna lose this excess because you know. And then watch, and then I'm gonna put my pictures on Facebook and see. I bet you he bite. I bet you he You know what? I'm going to go to the hairdresser and I'm going to spend $250 and I'm going to post my pic with some dude sitting next to me that really ain't even with me, but he's next to me. He don't even know he's in the picture, and I'm going to act like I done moved on, and I bet my God responds. Women are looking at me like, he can just move on from this, but you know I'm telling the truth and shame the devil. Act like y'all ain't done it. Yeah. When Jesus asked, when he asked the demon, what was his name? The demon replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. In common usage, a legion was the largest unit in the Roman army. And at the time, a legion averaged anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 fighting men. And in actuality, according to how big the battle was, it could be thousands more. Or how small the battle was, it could be a few thousand smaller. So the term legion refers to any large number of beings, a multitude. When the demon in Mark 5 said that his name was Legion, it meant that the demonic, Lord have mercy, of Gerasenes was, the demonic man of Gerasenes was possessed by a large number of unclean spirits. Scripture doesn't say how many exactly demons comprise the legion within this particular man. However, when Jesus cast them out, they entered into a herd of pigs that was feeding nearby. Legion caused, if you remember the story, legion caused the pigs to rush down a hillside into the sea where they were all drowned. The number of pigs killed, some theologians say, were about 2,000. That detail suggests that Legion, at this very moment, was composed of about 2,000 demons. The large number of demons may account for the afflicted man's untamable nature and great strength, but it was a strength that was no match for God. What are you talking about, his great strength? If you ever read the story, Mark chapter 5, if you haven't, I promise you, you'll be intrigued. What happened was, this man was walking around the tombs. He was walking around the dead. Be careful about people that want to be in your life that are walking around the dead. My God, come on. And you can be walking around the dead and folk be living, but really dead. Oh, God. We could just call the altar call right there, amen. Listen, and it said that in the Bible, it said that they would catch him, which lets you know they wasn't scared of him, and they would bind him. The Bible says with fetters or chains every time, and he would just break the chains, and continue back to the tombs where he dwelt. My wife likes to watch this show called Andy Griffin. And Shamika knows she ain't never been on my house, and Andy Griffin ain't been playing. And Andy Griffin, my favorite person is not Barney Fife, and it is not the sheriff. It's not Andy. My favorite guy is Otis. Otis is the town drunk, amen. And so, Lord, this ain't even in my notes. And so, what pops off with Otis? One episode was Otis and Barney was always getting into it. And so one day Barney said, "You couldn't get sober if you wanted to." And Otis said, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna stop drinking today." And he did. And he stopped drinking for about a week. And watch this, everybody who knew Otis was playing Otis differently, because Otis was not the Otis that they, you know, they could look down on. He wasn't the Otis that they could talk about no more. He wasn't the Otis that they could dog out. He wasn't the Otis that he could, you know, people could run up and stand beside him and say, "Well, at least I ain't Otis, because Otis is always drunk." You got to be careful, Lord have mercy. Why are you talking about that part, Pastor? Because at the end of Mark 5, in this chapter with Jesus, when the demons are cast into the pigs and drowned, when the people went down to town and told, "They just drowned all your pigs. Jesus just drowned all your pigs." See, when people don't understand something, they'll make stuff up. Jesus ain't drowned no pigs. But when they came back, watch this, they seen the man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in the right mind. And guess what it says? And they was afraid. Now that he's okay, he's afraid. They afraid of him. You know they wasn't afraid before, because the Bible said that they was always catching him and handcuffing him, basically, and he had the strength to be able to break through these chains right then, but they wasn't afraid. But now that he's got himself together, oh God, y'all don't hear me in here. Some of you who are getting yourselves together, you're just going to have to let some family go. You're going to have to let some friends go. You're going to have to let some people go on the work site, because they, as long as you was messed up, they was okay with you. But now that you seem to be getting yourself together, folk is playing your funny style. Folk is acting like you think you're brand new. Be careful of the people that's got a problem with you getting in your right mind. Oh Lord, let me get back to this thing. So watch this. Bishop, why did you share this story with us? I'm glad you asked. I shared this story with you for a couple of reasons. One, because I never want you to underestimate the potential of how bad one can get when one doesn't, as we talked about over the last 2 weeks, above all else, guard your mind. Some theologians, again, believed that there were at least 2,000 unclean spirits in this man at one time. And I know that might be hard to comprehend and even harder to believe, but let's look at it like this. This is the part of church where we're going to call honest time. Mm-hmm. We're going to call this honest time. Y'all ready? And the reason that I had to make a name for it is because people have become comfortable about coming to church and lying about their condition. And where there is no honesty, there can be no healing. Where there is no honesty, there can be no healing. Amen? All right, honest time. And this is personal. So I want you to answer these on your handout that was provided for you. And when you know that you do something that's on that list, or you've done this before, I want you to put a check next to the line. Now, don't worry about the people that are sitting next to you, even though this is personal. Seeing your answers, you ain't got to worry about that, because most likely they're trying to hide their answers from you too. Amen? So on your handout that you have, if I want you to check and be 100 about where you are, amen, or where you've been, because we think, amen. Can we get our handout, honey? You ain't got to be. We ain't conventional church around here. We can interrupt one another, amen, amen. We need some over here, amen. Yeah, I'm gonna make sure everybody got them. Woo. Now here's the thing. Some of y'all done looked at the paper and already decided to lie. It's okay when you find yourself in a place that you'd rather not be, as long as you are determined not to stay there. Because what you won't admit can't get fixed. Amen? What you won't admit, it can't get fixed. Amen? That's the problem with pride. It stops you from being able to admit where you really are, and as a consequence, you stay where you really are, and as a consequence, you lose everything that you could have had, was supposed to have. Amen? All right, we ready? Here we go. Number one, do you or have you lied? If you have, mark it on your paper. Just put a check. Amen. Do you or have you ever stole something? And I put some parentheses on that. I put some parentheses. Let's read the parentheses. Taxes, earned income credit, and you know that baby don't live with you? That's stealing. Everybody just checked. It's getting hot in here. When the cashier gave you too much change back, you knew it, but didn't return it. That's stealing, y'all. So some of you trying to justify by, well, she should have been on her job. She should have known. She ain't my problem. She can't count. But the problem is that you can count, and you wasn't supposed to keep it. Yeah, you can count. See, and you always know when the cashier done gave somebody too much money back, because you know they walked to the cashier like that. But when they got that little extra $4.36 back, stepping. You hear me? Because what they hoping is the cash register ain't got something on it to say, you messed up, you're $4.36 short. Catch him. You done already put that money in your gas tank in your head. You ready? Looked at someone who wasn't your husband or wife and thought improper thoughts. Come on, Lily, you're going to have a better poker face than that. She just broke down. Jesus. You ready? Okay, now we get a little deeper. Slept with someone who wasn't your husband or wife, knew it was wrong, yet, watch this, had to keep doing it anyway. The word had indicates addiction. That's why you got to be careful about what you choose, because what you choose can get you caught up. And then when you choose to get away from it, you realize that your will to walk away from it isn't as strong as your will to continue in it. Yeah. You ready? You ever gossiped? Said one thing, but did another. In the church world, we call that hypocrisy. You ever meddled? You ever meddled? Okay, here's another one. You ever cussed or cussed someone out? You ever beat on someone you knew couldn't win against you? You ever hated someone? You ever wish someone was hurt, dead, or had misfortune? Okay, here's a good one right here. You ever did anything for attention? And you see in the parentheses I put, tell the truth. Ever been mean, nasty, rude? And if y'all can see the faces that's looking at me, right? I didn't come here for all this. Sure you did. Because you can never overcome what you won't confront. So I could have added to this list all day, but I think you get my point. There are some of us in this room that have actually operated in all of these at once. There are some of us that have operated in a few of these at the same time. The point is, this small list are all actions of an unclean spirit. So when you sit back and you think, ain't no way in the world two or three demons could be in me, or two or three or four or five unclean spirits could be in me, sure it can. You can never underestimate the potential of evil if you are not guarding your mind. Amen? But here's the thing. Lord have mercy. Here's the thing I want you to catch about the demon-possessed man. when he had an altercation with Jesus, he was immediately healed, changed, delivered, set free, and in his right mind. Guess what he was? He was new. He was new. We are into church, but we not new. We can be on the praise team and not be new. We can hold titles in the church, but not be new. Let me just keep it 100. We can pastor, preach, and teach and still not be new. And until we make reading the Word of God a priority, until you develop a prayer life that isn't just you begging for stuff, until getting in His presence is priority, until you experience Jesus, you will not be. You will not be new. What's the big deal about that? The big deal about that is, so if you're not going to be new, you're going to always still be depressed. If you're not going to be new, guess what? Everything that's bad in your life that is happening on a consistent basis that you wish you could change until you become new, that will continue to happen until you experience Jesus. This is why you cannot afford to get cute, come to church, but don't change. Because we got too many depressed Christians. We've got too many suicidal Christians. We've got too many broken Christians. We got too many Christians getting high on the low. We got too many Christians that's drinking, you know, during lunch breaks. You cannot come to church and not change because there is just simply too much on the line. And so there are all types of people groups with all types of reasons of why we have not experienced Jesus. But here at the Unity Worship Center, the reason is clear. I ain't got nothing to do with everybody else's church, but over here at the Unity Worship Center, the reason is clear. There are too many people in this ministry that have too many other gods. I want you to write that down on your piece of paper so you can take home. Do I have any more gods? Now, remember when I told you this the first time, the first Sunday when I began to give these handouts out, I said your relationship with God, it will be a telltale if you don't take the handouts seriously. Because what it says is I'm really not concerned about anything on this paper. Thus, I'm really not concerned about where I am with God. And that's a scary thing, because if you ain't concerned about where you are with God, that ought to make you concerned about where you are with God. So the problem is we got too many other gods, and those gods are real to you. They're real to you because you can see them. They're real to you because you can hear them. You can sex them. You can drink them. You can smoke them. You can spend them. Y'all ain't trying to hear me in here. These gods is real to you because you have physical access to them. And because God doesn't come when you want him to, and because God doesn't move the way you think that he should, and as quick as you think that he should, and the way that you thought he should, because God doesn't do that, watch this, we find gods that will. Well, if God won't bless me with a nice car, I'm thick, he's balling, I'm cute, I'll get my own. So now you got two gods, three gods, your body, the car, and the baller. Oh, God. Yeah. Too many gods in a situation where there can only be one. This has always been the problem at this ministry and many others, to be honest. We sit in church singing to a God that we don't serve, but then return to the world and serve the gods that we have adopted over the real true God. That's why many people can't stand up and clap their hands during praise and worship, you know, because that ain't the God that they serve. And there ain't no use in them lying about it. But as soon as they get out into the car, they won't be out the parking lot, and they'll have their Drake CD in, and they'll be banging. Because God and what the God that Drake serves is what most Christians serve. Oh, God, I'm talking in here. And now, why is all of this important? And I understand. See, I can feel it in my spirit, folk upset already. I ain't come back over here. You ain't gonna bring me back over here. See, let me tell you why people are upset. Because don't nobody want to cough, do they, CJ? But don't nobody want Robitussin. My wife, I'm not afraid of it, though. My wife, she hates cough syrup. Hates it. Maya. Was Maya here? No, she wouldn't have said. Hates it. But she don't have no problem giving me 30 pills a day. This is, you got to take this for your gout. You got to take this for your blood pressure. You got to take this. And she, come on. So she gets to coughing for like a day straight, right? I can't even enjoy the movie because she's coughing, but you can't say that because then you're insensitive. But in my mind, I'm going, I wish you would shut up and take some cough medicine. So I go and get some Robitussin. And she said, this cough is killing me. That's all I needed to hear. I'm out. I go get the cough medicine. I come back. I said, is that cough messing you up? Yes, baby. Does it just feel like you can't breathe? Yes, it's just, and I can't enjoy nothing. I was like, okay, here. I came out of the kitchen. I said, I got this little cup. She said, what's that? I said, Robitussin. She said, and she literally, this is the truth. God sends in heaven as my witness. She literally jumped up and ran. She said, I'm not taking that. You ain't got no pills or nothing. I'm like, no. And stop saying it. She sounds like a dope fiend. But then, you're going to get us all locked up. She don't want the cough, but she won't take the Robitussin. See, what's your point, Pastor? Okay, everybody won't come to church and just think, heal me. Set me free. Deliver me. Take it away. I don't want this illegal passion. Do away with it, Lord. So the Lord says, okay, I got you. So I'm going to send you to a church where they keep it all the way 100. Then you get to the church, you begin to take the Robitussin and realize how you really, really kind of okay with the cough. See, you don't got a problem with the truth being preached if you want the truth to set you free. Because that's what it said. The truth will make you free. But if you don't really want to be free, this is an agonizing service. Amen. Am I telling the truth in here? Just tell me. Some idiot was on social media and said they was dissing the Unity Worship Center, and they said they've been there for 8 years, going into their eighth year, and the building ain't full yet. What's wrong? What's going on over there? And I hit them back and said, the truth. That's why you didn't stay. That's what's wrong. The truth. Yeah. Listen, I'm almost done, I promise. Well, since y'all insist. I promise you, with everything in me, these gods that we be out here serving, right? I promise you, the gods that you're serving, that you worship in the world, they cannot deliver you. They cannot regulate your mind. They cannot heal you. They cannot help you for the better. So you are just serving a dead god that is waiting for you to die. Those gods of the world have one mission, and Jesus made it clear in the book of John, chapter 10, verse number 10, when he said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And I need everyone in the building to hear me and hear me good. Anytime you are presented, Mimi, we was talking about this a little earlier. Anytime that you are presented with anything that is contrary to God and his word, you have been targeted to be, as Jesus said, stolen. Anytime, let me say it again, that you are presented with anything that is contrary to the word of God, you have been targeted to be stolen. Write this down in your notes. I want you to write that down in your notes. You got to write that down. Anytime you are presented or being tempted to do wrong, you have been targeted by Satan to be stolen. Imagine that. You understand me, niece? We were presented, tempted, and if we would have went the wrong way, we would have been stolen. But there's another word that I had to look up for the word stolen, and this was mind-blowing. Guess what the word was? It snatched. That's cold, ain't it? to and it means to steal something or to kidnap someone by seizing or grabbing suddenly. How many in here will just tell the truth and shame the devil that there's been some decisions that you made that got your destiny snatched? How many of you know that Satan can kidnap, watch this, Satan can kidnap you spiritually while leaving you in your environment physically? He can kidnap you physically. He can kidnap you spiritually, but leave you in your environment physically. And when you hear people say stuff like, what's going on with you? This ain't you. You might not want to ignore them. They might be, in their own words, saying, I think you've been snatched. When you got people in your life that you know for a fact that love you, but they're getting on your nerves because they begin to say things like this. You know, the last couple of weeks, you've really been tripping. I mean, I thought it was me, but I've been really watching. And no, you really off. What they're really trying to say, and they won't even know it, is I think you've been snatched. Now, understand this. You will never be snatched and loved by the snatcher. I don't care if you got snatched into their bed, the snatcher don't love you. I don't care if you got snatched in the crack house, the snatcher don't love you. I don't care how the snatcher makes you feel good for a while, the snatcher don't love you. In fact, there's Bible to promote that, and it says, but sin is good for the moment, but when it is full grown, it brings forth death. What love you don't kill you. What love you won't kill you. Oh, God. When people begin to say things like that, it's an indication that you have been snatched. And once you are snatched by Satan, his whole plan after that is to kill and destroy you. So let me say it again. If you're presented with a sin or a temptation by something that you know was contrary to God and his word, then there has been a demonic hit put on you. Every time. See, you just thought somebody was just trying to, can I talk real? I'm the pastor here. You thought they was just trying to get some. They was trying to kill you. My spiritual mother told me one day, I was telling her, I said, I think I met the one. I think I went the one. It wasn't the one. And so I said, oh man, she's beautiful. She can sing. She's gonna be good, boy, when I start my church, because she's gonna sing and all of these different things. And my spiritual mother was so dry with it. She said, you having sex with that girl? And I said, ma'am. She said, are you having sex with that girl? And I said, she said, don't lie to me, Stephen. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, if it loves you, it shouldn't be trying to send you to hell. Come on, Bishop. That's for all the single folk in the house. And let me just say what I said last week. If you ain't married, you're single. Amen. Well, they've been living together for 14 years, you're single. You've been living with somebody singly for 14 years. So when they present something that is wrong to you, just know that Satan has put a demonic hit on you. Now let me ask you a question. How much sin have you been tempted with? Let's just talk about last week. Can we take it deeper? How much sin have you been tempted with by people you feel love you? And you love? Well, I'm here to tell you that those people that you love, and watch this. Don't be going home cussing people out. And you, pastor, see it? No. Because you got to keep your Bible, right? What's Ephesians 6 say? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So watch this. This is why you got to have your mind right, because you got to know that who is before you is from God. Because here's the deal. If your mind ain't right, watch this. This is why you got to drink water. Because if you ain't going to drink water, you're going to be thirsty. And if you're thirsty, you make stupid decisions. So it's cute. It's fine. It's thick. It's got a body. It's got a car. Got a nice job. Got to be from the Lord. So it looks like we're going to get married. Can we just be real in here? How many of you have said we probably going to get married anyway? Four relationships later, we probably gonna get married. Let me be careful about who is standing before you trying to offer you things that's not of the Savior. Anything that is of God will add to your life. So guess what? If you're gonna be spiritual, you also have a right to be, what's the word? Funny style. Not just everybody can come over. Can I get your number? Why you want it? I mean, because I like to call you sometime. Why? Because I just want to talk to you. About what? About maybe you, me and you getting together and doing what? I mean, you know, I ain't trying to, now we lying. I ain't trying to, what do you want to do? Have some dinner. I can cook my own dinner. Can I say this? Single people. How many single people I got in here that saved? I want to bless your life right now. We date with intention. Did you hear me? Daughter of mine, did you hear me? We date with intention because anything else can lead to sin. We date with intention. We don't date. I'm just going on a date with him because I ain't got nothing to do. That'll get you toe up. Huh? How many people just didn't have nothing to do? And now 18 years later, you've been... Oh, can I just talk to my men in here so the girls don't think I'm picking on them? She's unity potential. She's unity potential. Amen. Listen. Can I get my men to be real with me in here? How many of you just didn't have nothing to do, so you did, and you've been doing child support for... And look, the men did it slowly. And got the nerve to put on your check stub, family support. That ain't my family. Ain't my family. Oh, God, I could teach that deeper, but I won't. Because y'all walk out of here mad at me. Listen here. Woo-wee. It's getting hot in here. Listen. I want you to understand this. How you respond to the temptation will determine the next course of your life. It will determine the next. You know I'm not lying because we've all chose incorrectly, and as a consequence, it altered a few courses of our lives. You remember those times? This is when you thought you was going. This is when you thought about killing yourself. It's when you found out that your credit score was messed up. That'll sink in later. We all remember those times of choosing incorrectly. That's when you got high. That's when you got drunk. And then all of a sudden getting drunk wasn't just because you want to be the life of the party. Now you're drinking to cope. Now you're smoking to cope. You know when I stopped enjoying weed? When I realized I wasn't enjoying weed. It was a need now. Oh God, let me go on. Let me give y'all some scripture so y'all can, when you feel like you went to church. I want to give you the scripture concerning being new. And this right here, and I hit this one. I hit this one because it's coming from the Message Bible because I wanted to just hit home, okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 24. No prolonged infancies among us. Paul is setting the stage, okay? He's setting the stage because Ephesians, real talk to me, now I've never heard a theologian say this, but it's how I feel, is Ephesians is a war book. Yes. It's a battle book. Yes. It tells you how to get ready. You know what I mean? And one thing that Paul says is he's talking, he says, listen here, we don't need no prolonged infancies. In other words, we don't need no babies to spend a whole lot of time on that ain't going to never mature. See, some of y'all said I was wrong when I cleared the Facebook family page, right? But what we was having on the Facebook family page was prolonged infancies. We had people that had been with us for 7 to 8 years that had not matured in the Word of God. Now, they got mad at me, didn't they? But when they got mad at me, the building was less than half of this. Within a month, sis, am I telling the truth? Within a month of clearing the page of the prolonged infancies, look around the building. Be careful of what you just keep around you because it don't seem like it can make it on its own. That ain't your business. That ain't your business. That'll get you toe up, okay? No prolonged infancies among us, please. In other words, we going to need you to mature in this thing. We going to need you to do more than just what your title is in church. We going to need you to learn the word. Watch this. And not just learn the word, but we going to need you to apply the word because we are in a warfare. And if me and you, come here, Kenny. And see, the worst thing that can happen is we be in war and I find out he don't know how to shoot. Now, Kenny laughed like, you know I know how to shoot. He says, you should have picked somebody else for that one. But isn't it? Come here, Kevin. Get on this side of it. Here is a host of hell coming against you. And you find out Kenny can't pray. I'm about ready to trick the whole thing out. And I find out Kevin ain't got a scripture in his spirit to deliver me from my messed up way of thinking. You have got to mature. No prolonged babies, please. Y'all can have a seat. And he says this, oh God, we will not tolerate babies in the woods. Small children who are an easy mark for imposters. See, come here, nephew, come here. Mm-hmm. You're going to sit on the deacon roll, boy. You're going to sit on the pastor's roll. You're going to work. Amen. Now, Kenny, come stand beside your son. I want to show you this. This is powerful. I hear you, Holy Ghost. Now, here is Kenny little. Here is Kenny the way he's supposed to be. Come on. Come on. Now, I'm walking with who I think is Kenny supposed to be. Let him go. But if I find out that I'm walking with Kenny little, y'all ain't hearing me in here. If I find out that I'm walking with Kenny Little, now I'm spooked because not only do I realize I don't have the protection that I would have with a Kenny, come on, who's supposed to be, but watch this. Because I'm walking with Kenny Little, not only do I have to make sure I don't get hit, I got to protect Kenny Little too. Here's the problem. The enemy that's coming up against you spiritually, he ain't got to protect nobody because he don't love nobody. So when he shoots for you, he don't care who you trying to protect. He's just trying to kill you. So Kenny Little has to become Kenny who he's supposed to be. And you got to get spiritually mature enough that when they refuse to be Kenny who they supposed to be and they want to stay Kenny Little, you got to let a kid in little go. I don't care if it's your cousin. I don't care if it's your mama. Oh, y'all mad at me about that. Hold on, I'm going to give you some Jesus on that. I don't care if it's your mama. I don't care if it's your daddy. I don't care. What gives you the right to say that, Pastor? I didn't. Jesus did. He said. What did he say? He said, did you think that I come to bring peace? I ain't come to bring no peace. I came with a sword. And I come to cut your mama away from God or father away from anything that is keeping you from me. And watch this. And I ain't going to do it. I'm going to give you the sword and I expect you to. You better learn how to let little Kenny go. But he's so cute. But he's life hangy. But he's so adorable. But he ain't prepared. But he can't take care of himself. And he can't take care of you. Amen? Thank you, brother. Thank you. Listen, let's take it a little further. Okay, I'm almost done, I promise. No prolonged infancies among us, please. We will not tolerate babies in the woods. We ain't putting up with nothing we shouldn't be. Shouldn't be no baby in the woods. You've been here at the Unity Worship Center over 6 months. You should not consider yourself immature anymore. We teach too hard for that. We teach too hard for that. From Sunday school to Bible study, from pastor to minister to evangelist, we teach too hard for that. Guess this. It goes on and says, God wants us to grow up, oh Lord, and know the whole truth and tell it in love. Now, be careful not to know the truth. Be careful to know the whole truth, but don't tell it in love. It won't be accepted. Amen? So like Christ, like Christ in everything. In other words, there is not an instance that you don't get to be like Christ. Hold on, what about when they get up in my face? Like Christ. What about when they talking crazy about me? Like Christ. What about when they lying on my name? Like Christ. And the problem is, we want to come out of Christ to prove. We want to come out of Christ to prove we ain't like Christ. In other words, we'll come out of Christ to prove I ain't no punk. We'll come out of Christ to prove you're not going to treat me like that. And when you come out of Christ to prove that, what you actually prove is that you're not like Christ. Write in your notes, stay in Christ. All right, here we go. We take our lead from who? Christ. You respond to every situation like who? Christ. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, you respond to it with the heart of. That's why in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Because it don't make no never mind what it is that's coming up against you. You got to think about it like Jesus does. Oh, man. Here we go. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us, so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. Here's the problem. I want to ask you a question. Is Jesus' blood flowing through you? And you tell the truth, because only you know. You and your kids. You and the one you sin with. Is Jesus' blood flowing through your heart and your veins? Why is this important? Because if it's not, you're not going to win. Christianity is always going to be a problem for you. It's always going to be boring for you. It's always going to be a list of cans and can'ts and do's and don'ts. But when his blood begins to flow through your veins, you ain't got no problem with being holy, because holy is as. Now, check this out. So in between verses 16 and 17, and Mimi couldn't get this, but it says this in the Message Bible. Here's the title of these last verses. It says, the old way has to go. That's what it's entitled. The old way has to go. And it says, and so this is Paul, and he says, and so I insist, watch this, and God backs me on this. Now, if you had a problem with anything I said, I'm only saying what Paul was saying, and he said, and so I insist. In other words, it's not up for debate. Care nothing about how you feel, how you look at it. Your feelings ain't nowhere in the Bible. He says, and so I insist. Watch this. And he goes, and then just to go ahead and make it all plain, and God backs me on this. What do you say when God backs him on what he's saying? And he says, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. Now, somebody say, well, I know some crowd. So when he's up against, no, go back to 17. I want to deal with that for a second. We're almost done, I promise. And so he says, there be no going along with the crowd. See, this is something that the young people need to tap into, because folk keep going, our young people keep going along with the crowd. I keep burying kids that have OD'd to fentanyl. Let me just take it deeper than that. I am sick of burying people my age that continue to go along with the crowd
And watch this. The crowd is empty-headed. They are mindless. How can you prove that? Because with all the deaths that we've experienced just in the last year, why would you continue to do the same things? That's a mindless human being. That's an empty-headed human being. And so we cannot go along with that crowd. Give me 18. Let's bring it home. This gets deep right here. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch not only with God, but they've lost touch with reality itself. Let me hip you to the people in your life that have lost interest in not just lost touch with not just God, but with reality. It's the one that you know they know the truth. You know they know what you're saying is the truth. And they still can't cash in. They still can't tap in. They still can't get it. Lord, have mercy. They can't think straight anymore. Ever met somebody can't think straight no more? That's when you ask them, what are you doing? What were you thinking? Why would you do that? Because they can't think straight anymore. And they're just going along with the can't think straight crowd. You understand? Watch this. They can't think straight anymore, feeling no pain. They let themselves go in sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. Now we're going to have to spend about 2 minutes on that, okay? Because when I read this, the Lord dealt with me heavy. And I want to bless your life in here, okay? Some of you are going to catch this and it's going to bless your life. But he says, feeling no pain. Now, I want you to catch it. That's deep right there. Feeling no pain. And then it was weird to me that the wordplay bees went from feeling no pain, to they let themselves go to sexual obsession. Have you ever been in love with someone who didn't love you, but they was relationshiping you pretty good, and you didn't even feel the pain of how they were dogging you anymore? Because you had an obsession with who was just using you. Lord, so some of you are trying to figure out, why do I keep going back? Why do I keep letting them do that to me? Because you have an obsession. Because you don't feel pain no more. See, you, come here, Kevin, hit me on the shoulder. Not hard, boy. Hit me again. Keep hitting me. After a while, I don't even notice he's hitting me no more. Why? Because I'm numb to it. Watch this. I expect him to hit me. Why? Because it's always what he's always done. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I don't expect no more from him. Why? Because he's never shown me anything more than. So guess what? I don't feel the pain. I'm being dogged, but I don't feel it. I'm being done wrong, but I don't feel it. I'm left for lonely, but I don't. Y'all ain't hearing me in here. And not only do I, well, here's how it gets even deeper. Not only do I not feel it, watch this, come here, give it to me. Not only do I not feel it, but I can't walk away from it. Something's happening. But since I don't got no pain, I can't tell you what it is, but I can't leave it alone all at the same time. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Y'all, somebody gonna give me some money today. Amen. I just freed some folks today. I just broke the whole strategy. Oh, yeah. Y'all owe me today. Hallelujah. Yeah. Listen, I got 6 minutes. Let me run through it. 6 minutes. 6 minutes and I'm done. Bees, leave me alone. 6 minutes. 6 minutes. He was waiting for me to do it. Okay. We are trying to grow a mega church. Would you stop?
Okay. Watch this.
Watch. Here it is. You ready? But then Paul makes the difference. He says, but that ain't no life for you. But that's no life for you. You shouldn't be getting done that way.
You shouldn't be so numb to the pain that you don't even feel when you're being done wrong. That's no type of life for you. You learn Christ. And he goes on, he says, and so my assumption since you learned Christ is that you have paid careful attention to him, to Christ. Been well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. You want to know how you never get your heart broken again, single people? Single ladies, you want to know how you never get your heart broken again? Keep your legs closed. Until you got their last name. Don't worry. Listen, I ain't got but 6 minutes. I ain't got but 4 minutes. Don't clap. Listen. I ain't say till you get the ring. You remember we used to do it? These didn't. Just me. We had a dude in the plaza. CJ, you know what I'm talking about? Had a dude in the plaza, and he would come through, and McCoy, how you know about that? And he would have a whole thing of Cupid zirconias, right? But women didn't know nothing about that then, right? Because it was just on the telemercial. And so you could get, what about, it'd be six in a slot, and you could get them for $60. $10 a ring. Every time one of my women got tired of me, I engaged her. Some of y'all mad. Some of y'all should have. Oh God. I'm just gonna let it go. Listen. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Guess what? Every last one of you might not like me, but you can't play dumb no more. Not after today. You can't play dumb no more. You can't just let it happen and act like you don't know what's happening. Oh God. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with the old way of life has to go. It has to go. It's rotten through and through. Some of y'all didn't say that too. You just rotten. You didn't know you were speaking Bible, did you? It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely what? New way of life. A God-fashioned life. A life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you.
That's powerful right there. That's powerful right there. One last point, I'm out. And working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces. Now, I want to deal with the word accurately. And the reason why is because it says, and it's working itself into your conduct. Now, just because the word conduct is in the Bible don't necessarily mean that you're going to live in a conduct that's of the Bible. So he says he's working itself into your conduct. In other words, when you was a whoremonger, when you was a drunk, when you was somebody that stayed high, he says, I'm working it accurately into your conduct. In other words, as Jesus begins to work it accurately into your conduct begins to fade away as Jesus' conduct begins to take form. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Oh God. So. How do we pull it off, Bishop? How do we get new? You take your Bible and you do it. And you don't matter. You don't worry about who you lose. You do it. You don't worry about who you offend. You do it. You don't worry about who don't like the change up. You do it. And as you do it, not because you're worried about going to hell, but you do it because you love him. Because while you was a hot mess, he was loving us. You, how,
wasn't that we can love people who openly dog us, but the one who has always been there from day one, we got a problem embracing him. You love him because he first loved you. You want to know how you walk into all truth? The Bible said, Jesus said in the Bible, he said, but when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead you into all truth. You ain't got to figure it out. You don't got to figure it out. The most precious thing that I found about God, because I come from a world where what you say don't mean nothing. I got to figure out what's really on your mind, because it is the difference between life and death, prison and freedom. But when it comes to this God thing, all you got to do is take him at his word. He wrote it out. And all you got to do is take him at his word. And you know what I found out? You know what I found out? Come here, you're pretty. I just want to hold on to you for a minute. You know what I found out? I found out that when you take him at his word, it all works out. And the things that you lose, the things that was harming you in the first place. Let me tell you something, baby. When you begin to cling hold to Jesus, everything, every hater, every wolf in sheep's clothing will fall by the wayside, because it cannot stand with the ways of Jesus. Listen, if we have anybody in the building today that says, I want to be new, I'm tired of going through the same old pain, same old heartache, same old letdown, same old brokenness. I'm so tired of being the butt of the joke. I'm so tired of being the one that's not thought about. I'm so tired of being disrespected. I'm so tired of disrespecting myself. I want to be new. I want to invite you to come on down. Let me tell you something, baby. You ain't going to change yours overnight. But if you begin to take steps, I promise you, you'll get there. Ain't going to tell you it's easy. You've been doing you for a long time. But if you take the steps, God says, I came so you would take the steps. I came so nobody would ever step on you again.